Never will I forget the time when a Christian gentleman asked me, "Are you saved?" I answered him, as so many do today when I ask that question, "Well, I hope so." And certainly any intelligent individual would hope they were saved from hell to heaven. Let me ask you that question, friend, and may I do it in a very personal but very kind way. Are you saved for eternity? Are you confident, with confidence based upon the Word of God, that if you died this very moment, you'd go to heaven? Let's talk for just a moment about this word saved. Many of us were raised in religious groups who did not utilize this word, and it comes to us as sort of a shock. We think it's a cliche or a term that some folks use that's really not biblical. But quite to the contrary, we find the word throughout the Scriptures. For example, in Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer asked, "What must I do to be saved?" Now, he wasn't asking what he had to do to join the church or to get religion. He wasn't asking about the heathen in Africa. He was concerned about his own sin, his own need, his own salvation. "Sir, what do I have to do in order to go to heaven? What do I have to do to be saved from the wrath of God?" And the apostle said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." From the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus himself said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." It didn't say he'd get religion. It didn't say he'd be a church member. It says he will be saved. From Acts chapter 4, we read, "For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." It's not that we ought to be saved. It would be nice and helpful. Friend of mine, it's imperative. It's an absolute necessity. Either we are saved by the grace of God through the work, through the blood, through the death, through the life, through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, or we are lost for all eternity. God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for the ungodly. He died for the rebels. He died that you and I might be saved. But going on, we read in Acts 2 and verse 47, that the Lord is adding to the church daily those such as are being saved by the grace of God. For we read in Ephesians 2, 5 and 8, that's the only way we can be saved. By grace are you saved. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "But unto us which are saved." He didn't say to us which hope we may be saved in the end if we endure and hang on and do the best we can. Friend of mine, salvation is a gift, and it's given freely by the grace of God to whosoever will. And Paul says, "Unto us which are saved." Note the positive declaration that he makes there. And then from Titus chapter 3, he says, "According to his mercy, he saved us." Not he will save us someday in the future. He has saved us now. And he wrote to Timothy the same type thing, "The power of God who hath saved us." And then Paul warns in 2 Thessalonians 2 that they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Friend of mine, it's such a joy to be saved and to know on the authority of God's Word that he that has the Son is saved. He has eternal life. And he can know for sure, John says, that he's on his way to heaven. But if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Before the great white throne judgment, condemned and lost for all eternity. But in the language of the Apostle Peter, we can say, "Unto us who believe, unto us who are saved, he is precious." Is he precious to you? He can be. Will you trust him?